This is St. Pete X, affectionately known as SPX. SPX brings you St. Pete's brightest business people, civic leaders, and citizens who share their insight and expertise, as well as their love of our great city. SPX is presented by the St. Petersburg Group. Head to St. Pete.
Nadine, thank you for coming in.
Cool. Excited Thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
So we're talking about St. Petersburg.
Yes.
How long have you been here?
Wow. I have been in St. Petersburg for a while now. I tried to calculate the years. It's been
more than 10 years.
Yeah.
So you've been through a lot of the changes. You've seen the kind of growth and the
absolutely. Yeah.
So if you sort of had to articulate how St. Peter's changed in the last 10 years, what sticks out in your mind?
Well, you know, I used to live across the bay, mm-hmm. and my perception of St. Pete was, you know, slow, quiet, not much going on, mm-hmm. some pretty places. Mm-hmm. I worked at the Tampa Tribune, so we sort of had a rivalry with the St. Pete mm-hmm. Times.
So you're basically paid to not like St.
Yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, I was paid to not like St. Pete, and I took my job very seriously. And when I first moved or traveled to St. Pete, I didn't understand the grid, mm. you know, First Avenue South.
Mm, yep.
First Avenue North, you know, the roads that weren't the same road. Anyway, I thought of Tampa as sort of grittier and more of a big city. Mm-hmm. But what I love about St. Petersburg is you get all of the cultural good stuff that you get in a big city mm-hmm. with that kind of small town feel, you know, where you see your city council members, you see the mayor, you see, you know, you can have brunch looking at the water. You can walk up Central Avenue and encounter any kind of shop. You know, physically, it's beautiful. I mean, the Dolly used to be right down the street from where I lived mm-hmm. when it was in what looked to me like a converted elementary school. And I would go there all the time. The artwork is amazing. But to see what the Dolly is now, it's sort of emblematic of the transformation that's happened in St. Petersburg. It's always been this gem, but now it's polished right. And it's shining.
And where do you feel like we're headed? So if we're, you know, how much more polishing is there to do on the gem? And if you think about sort of the growth of some of the cities like Austin or, you know, even looking back to San Francisco, you know, cities that may have had an equivalent vibe in their early days. Do you see us going in that direction, or?
Well, I hope that St. Peter will continue to hold on to this, its personality. You know, it's Studio 620. It's mm. the artist feel. It's the sort of bring a really good idea, and you're going to find a place where people are going to get excited about it here. So I hope that it maintains that balance of being a place that, you know, tourists want to come here. It's a neat place. You're gonna have lots to do. It's beautiful, but it's very livable. It's not just built around tourism. It's built for the people who live here to enjoy it, and that, you know, that's part of what I really love about our city.
One of the areas we have on the homepage of the EDC site is make an impact. And I think that kind of speaks to where even now the landscape isn't so crowded with giant corporations or even giant media entities or whatnot, where anybody can sort of step up and if they have something they believe in, can make an impact.
Yeah, you know, I love that we have a downtown area that is really alive. You know, people live there. It's not a place that people go to work and then go home, you know, to the suburbs. There's always enough people for, you know, you to find a good restaurant or to find a, you know, something neat to do. It's not a ghost town after work hours are done. And that just creates this whole different vibe of being in a real city. I think about those places where they talk about old town planning, where, you know, the intentional planning.
Right.
And I think St. Pete has that, you know, just by the nature of how our city has grown. It's a walkable city. It is a pedestrian friendly city. It is a, you know, you're close to everything. You know, you can be in downtown, you know, 3 miles from downtown and 3 miles from, you know, some of the world's most beautiful beaches. And even if you're not, you know, rich living at the top of the penthouse of one of the condos, you can find a place where you're, you know, a bike ride away from enjoying the surf.
Same thing that the wealthy folks enjoy.
Yeah.
Which is, it's, you know, we have a great park system and along the water, which leads us to the pier. So tell me your thoughts on where the pier's place is in St. Petersburg's past and St. Petersburg's future.
Well, I'm glad because the pier design I like prevailed. I like that it was, you know, not so ostentatious and really the design takes full advantage of the natural beauty of the city. And it encourages, you know, kayaking and, you know, really using it as a park space, not just a shopping destination. I think that's really important. You know, I'm a parent of a six-year-old and finding the places to take him that aren't just about stopping and buying ice cream or, you know, but are, you know, places to engage nature and run around and get some physical exercise. All of that, I like that we are going in the direction of moving away from the upside down pyramid to a place that invites you to come and listen to music, watch a concert, you know, go and you and really enjoy the amenities that nature has provided.
Right. Cool. So kids, our kids go to school together, and we found a special place there in Montessori. What are your, obviously we have some shortcomings as well, more in the public realm. What are your thoughts on the current state of education? Where do you think we need to focus resources to make it more equal?
For no, I think that that the education system in St. Pete, in this county, has really taken a hit. You know, the coverage of it has been really quite, you know, laid bare some fundamental challenges that are not new and are going to require a community to rally to improve. And, you know, at the same time, I know that we also have some gems within our some really impressive schools within the school system. You know, I'm a firm believer that your zip code shouldn't determine the level of education and the quality of education that your child gets. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all have a vested interest in making sure that every single young person gets the best possible education they can receive, not just our own children. I'm a huge fan of the Montessori technique for schooling. And I'm glad to see that there are public schools that have embraced Montessori as well. So I think that education has to be a priority, especially making sure that that early education period that really shapes so much of who young people are going to be, how they feel about learning, and sets the path for, you know, what school is going to be for them and what life is going to be for them. So it's an area that I'm personally committed to and interested in, you know, we've got to make sure that as the city becomes what it can fully become, there's got to be a place for the workers, for the folks who aren't retirees and aren't, you know, wealthy and this is their second home. It's got to be a place where everybody can really live and have a quality of life. And I think that we're working on that balance. And, you know, we live in a pretty modest house, but I can get on my bike and within 5 minutes be sitting on a pier watching the sunset.
Right.
It's a good life.
Yeah, it certainly is. So I'm going to say a statement, and that has been sort of said with pride, and given your you're very politically active with Equality Florida, and I want to see if you agree with it and sort of get your thoughts on it. So people are proud. They use the word purple. They say that we have a purple city, and that the red and the blue, the left and the right, seem to work together here more so than in the average city. Would you agree with that? And how do you feel? How do you feel we sort of stack up as general citizens in our city versus we'll call it national political identity?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the work that I do on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equality means that I work a lot with politicians on both sides of the aisle. It means I work a lot with business leaders from both sides of the aisle. And when we are focused on a job, I don't think that those partisan divides matter a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I think at the national level, you know, I like a world in which people are persuaded by ideas and where people are led by values, not political parties. And to the degree that people have a great deal of civic pride and want to find solutions, then I think that's true of St. Pete, that that the political divide doesn't matter as much. I think it matters much more when you see what's happening in Tallahassee and you see what's happening in Washington, where putting on the jersey of a political party actually means that people set aside their own individual values, what they know is the right thing to do, in order to be loyal to their team's right. jersey. And that is doing us a lot of harm.
So you think that's a fair statement then, that we are, compared to as much as you would know from the average city, we do obviously there's always room for improvement, but something we can take a point of pride with, that we do put the good of the city above the jersey?
I think largely that's true, but you know, ask me in the middle of an election season when people are bringing some national figures from their party into town. You know, I think mostly it's true. I won't say it's always true, but mostly it's true.
Yeah.
And I do think that love for the city and the sense that we can do really great things if we get together. You know, I took a trip to North Carolina recently with the Chamber of Commerce, and it was a great trip. And it was, you know, I couldn't tell you how many Democrats and I couldn't tell you how many Republicans were on the trip.
Right.
What I did know was that these were all folks who cared a lot about how we can learn from what other cities are doing well and be proud of the things that we do better. And so I think that spirit is very strong here.
Yeah. And I think it's important to keep reminding ourselves of that as we move into, what's going to be a pretty interesting election, and hopefully, you know, everybody keeps that perspective in mind, and obviously people will support who they support, but there are other ways to do it right.
Well, you know, I think, you know, even going back to the school system, the history of every major city involves some pretty consistent things. Segregation, a system that very intentionally, when big things needed to be built, it displaced the Black community. When schools were being built, it displaced Black property owners. So we are dealing with systemic issues when we talk about, you know, any major city. And the ones that intentionally look to heal those injustices and really create opportunity are the cities that thrive. And the ones that try to paper over those realities, that struggle never ends. And so, you know, doing the human rights work that I do, I think that when St. Pete began to become very serious about talking about diversity and inclusion and making sure that the policies of the city reflect that, mm-hmm. is it really sends a message that you're welcome here. Come here and bring your best ideas. Come here and work hard on something. And we're not going to put artificial obstacles in your way. And we have to make sure that in addition to diversity and inclusion, we also have justice, fairness, and a system that really isn't stacked against those that it's traditionally not always included. So, you know, our education system is one place where that shows up. We've done a lot of work in the city around policing and what that means, particularly in the Black community. So these are conversations. They're not always easy conversations, but they're necessary. They're essential for a city to really gel, for everybody to have a vested interest in seeing our city grow. It's got to grow for all of us.
So, you know, if a potential, back with sort of the EDC hat on, if a potential owner of a company, you know, has their 40 or 50 employees, and inclusivity and diversity is important to them. What can you tell them about St. Pete as far as their comfort level with coming down here, knowing that that need will be served?
Yeah, I remember I was talking to the CEO of a major company that was based, that still is based in St. Pete, and I was trying to convince her to join our program called Equality Means Business, and basically I was you know doing my pitch about how important it was for business leaders to you know to stand up for these principles of equality, fairness, equal opportunity, and she just stopped me and she said, you know, I'm already with you. We have an international staff. We have to bring talent from all over. And I don't just have to sell them on my company. I have to sell them on this city. Mm-hmm. And part of what's really important to me, you know, if an employee's gay, I don't have to explain why they are going to be treated differently, or not have the same rights under the law, because our city has made sure that these protections are in place. That's really important. And right now, we're at a time where, you know, we're post baby boom, and there's a real fight for talent, mm-hmm. and people want to come to a place that is going to embrace their full selves, their you know, full complicated, you know,
yeah.
selves. And I think that St. Pete has been sending the right signals about being the place where you can do that. So I think the business community gets it. Our elected leadership has gotten it in recent years. And we have to make sure that, you know, diversity and inclusion isn't the end point, but it is a visible indicator that we really are making sure that there's a place for everybody to is willing to do the work, and that they're going to get real opportunities. And the historical obstacles have been put in their place. We're going to take those down.
So it's, you know, you know, for what it's worth, we're in working on this, the vision and positioning for the EDC. If you know, if you look at our website, there's basically four sections, and the headlines are make an impact, opportunity, inclusivity, and then right city, right time, and a sense of place and a sense of purpose. So what we're leading with are those intangible but hugely important aspects of the city, because that's exactly the kind of people that we want to choose us, and that we want to choose them in how we're putting ourselves out there. So, moving along this, let's talk about this, the time or the timing of St. Pete now. So, you know, where do you see St. Pete's 10 years from now? So we've 10 years out, sort of a little bit more than 10 years since our renaissance has started.
Right.
And, you know, you've been here for most of that, transitioning into 10 years into the future. What are your hopes? What are your cautions? What are your thoughts on where we're moving?
You know, I graduated from USF in Tampa, mm-hmm. and so I've watched the USF St. Pete campus really just take off. And it's nice living in what is increasingly a, you know, a university town. Mm-hmm. I think that brings you know, just some good energy and opportunities to a city. So I like seeing that growth. I want to see the commitment to a strong education system really play out. I'd like my son to have lots of options when it comes to education. I don't want to have to pick through and find the school that's, you know, got the right kind of programs and the right reputation and the right, you know, safety and inclusion. So a deep investment in education, I think, is essential. I like that we have density. I like that we have a lot of people, you know, in the heart of our city. I think that one, because I think it invites new business, new innovators to come to a place that is drawing people, you know, has talent feeding in from the university. And I think the reputation of our city is really strong. People want to move here. People, it used to be that if I, when I said St. Petersburg, I'd have to say I'm near, you know, the Tampa Bay area, and,
right.
you know, but now people are like, oh yeah, St. Pete, I went there. I went to the museum. We spent part of spring break. It's just, it feels like people really know this city a whole lot better, that it has an identity separate from the larger, included in, but also separate from the larger region that we're in. You know, I see these cities where the people who do the work, you know, the waiters and the hotel maids and the, you know, landscapers and, you know, just the average working person can't afford to live in the city where they work. And they get bused, you know, 2 hours from the middle of nowhere to go and work. That's, you know, 4 hours on the road to do a 9-to-5 job and get home to their families. And that's just an untenable situation. So I really hope that affordable housing is part of the mix, that we really pay attention to the quality of life all the way up and down the spectrum. And there are strategies that other communities have used that we can benefit from. And that, you know, we find the right mix between this being a place that is a tourist destination because it's got a lot to offer. But first and foremost, it's a place that we want people to live, not just have the vacation rental, you know, a lot of absentee homes. But, you know, really just it's a gorgeous place to live year round. It truly is. So I think it has tremendous potential. And just how we are geographically structured, you know, we have to build, you know, sprawl isn't really an right. option, which really does so much harm to other cities yeah. when you have that kind of sprawl and you have the kind of congestion and traffic that comes with sprawl. So I think we have some sort of geographic advantages. I think I read once that this was at one time considered the healthiest city in America because of how the breeze would blow pollution away.
Right. And,
I think we ought to hype that part of this area because I do think that, you know, we got a lot of yoga studios, we got a lot of healthy living kind of vibe, and I think people are just more sort of tuned in to. I think there's a whole industry that can spring up even more. Intentionally around healthy living, healthy lifestyle here in St. Pete. So, I just want to make sure that, you know, a kid going to high school who gets their first job can actually have a livable wage, you know, that there's opportunities all up and down, and that, you know, we don't overbuild the waterfront to the point that, you know, if you're not in one of the penthouses, you're not going to enjoy the view. I love that we have a park right along the water, you know, that's unobstructed by anything else. I love that we have festivals right along the water and that we haven't built everything out. I think that kind of planning is what makes cities really great and that everything just isn't squeeze every single penny you can out of every public space. There's a lot of cities I've been to where walking, you feel like you're walking through a prison cell because there's no windows. There, you know, none of the buildings were built with the idea that there'd ever be pedestrians. And you walk St. Pete and you window shop, you know, even the buildings that aren't storefronts, they sort of welcome human interaction, you know? And it's one of those things that you may not even understand how important it is until you're in a space where nobody cared about that whatsoever. But it's just a nice place to hang out. You know, I work from home a lot. I'll just grab a cup of coffee, set up my computer in a coffee shop, and run into 20 people I know. And, you know, I can talk to the mayor about something that's going on in the neighborhood, or, you know, it does have that small town feel, but big town amenities, big city amenities.
So anything that's sort of civically available or would be civically provided aside, what's something that you would love to see a private, either a company or an investor or a small business? What do you think you'd like to see more of come into St. Pete to round us out from some sort of service or product or events or lifestyle enhancement? Do you think, is there anything that jumps out at you? You thought it'd be great if you had a little more of this?
You know, my wife started a community garden in Bartlett Park in an old lot where, you know, pretty rough place. You know, drug deals. I think somebody had been murdered a couple of years earlier. And, you know, this is a neighborhood with no playgrounds and walkable distance for the kids. And so when she started the community garden, it took a while, but people saw that this was really going to, was going to have staying power, and the community really embraced it. And so a lot that was once, you know, sort of abandoned, overgrown, and a bit of a neighborhood nuisance has really become a place where, you know, people get food, eggs, you know, it's a real community garden in one of the poorest areas of the city. And I would love to see that sort of community garden culture take off even more deeply, that urban farming culture take off more deeply in our city. You know, we have this great, you know, an environment for growing that is, you know, somewhat unique in the state. I think we had to take greater advantage of that. And I think we ought to be investing in, you know, more deeply in, you know, I think of this city, or when Australia went through the big dry and everybody had to convert to, you know, the most water, you know, conserving strategies, capturing rainwater, using more solar. And once they went past that big drought, they had become accustomed and learned to really love the technology that they were using, you know, the enhancements they'd made to their homes. I would love to see our city really embrace the fact that we've got to have alternative sources of energy. We are literally the Sunshine State. You know, solar ought to be just common. It's, you know, we're one of the few houses on our street that has solar. It ought to be everywhere, and it ought to be, you know, aggressively pursued. So I do think that there's part of the natural environment here that we ought to be taking greater advantage of. And, you know, while lots of people move to Florida, we have to be aware that our infrastructure is finite. And so why wait for the crisis that we know will come, you know, in terms of water, in terms of sewage, in terms of all of these things? We know that we're growing, and we should begin to do those things now that anticipate that we'll continue to grow even more rapidly. You know, the best way to sell our city is just get people to come here once, you know.
So I just want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to someone. So if you can, you think of someone in St. Pete that is doing something neat that you appreciate, that you just think it'd be cool if they got a little more recognition or a little more eyes on what they were doing.
A little more recognition. Well, listen, I'm a huge fan of Bob Devin Jones. I think that Studio 620 has been such an important organization. It's contributed so much to the city, and it sort of, but he personally, even beyond Studio 620, he's such a force for good. He's the ultimate connector. And so my big shout out would go to Bob Devin Jones.
If you ever get bored, go check out eatbobscookies.com.
Yes, I've had Bob's cookies. I've had the pleasure of eating Bob's food.
Yeah.
And you know, if he decides to put the theater and, you know, artistic side away, well, his food is artistry in and of itself. I mean, it really is. If you ever have the opportunity to sneak into his refrigerator, I highly recommend it.
Okay. You bail me out if I get arrested for breaking and entering?
No. Okay. I'll deny all of this.
So let's turn a little bit to what you're saying. I know you're traveling a lot now. What are you spending your days on now, and how is that going?
So Equality Florida is the statewide lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender education and advocacy organization. So we've, over the last 20 years, we just turned 20, we have spent a lot of time working with local communities to pass non-discrimination laws and to push the state to do the same. So that I grew up in the panhandle of Florida, and when I drive from St. Pete to Panama City, I go through municipalities that have strong protections and municipalities that have none whatsoever. And we think the entire state of Florida ought to have a standard of treating people fairly and banning discrimination based on arbitrary attributes like race, gender, sexual orientation, et cetera. So that's the work that I've committed my adult career to. And, you know, right now, with the changes at the national level, I think it's even more important that cities make clear that they are unflinching in upholding that standard. St. Pete scores a perfect 100% on the equality index that the Human Rights Campaign puts out each year. And, you know, it has slowly gotten there over time, but it's gotten there because it made a commitment to saying, we're going to do the things that are within our power to ensure that you don't have to worry about whether you're going to be treated just like everybody else. We're going to make sure that that's the standard we set. So, you know, with some uncertainty out of Washington, there's been a lot of, you know, just work of ensuring that we don't start moving backwards. Right. And I think that even in a time of uncertainty, what we are seeing is even stronger majorities believe that discrimination is wrong, no matter what form it takes. And, you know, I grew up in Florida, so I have seen Florida go through this incredible change from the early days of Anita Bryant, you know, and all of the harm that she did with her anti-gay crusades that went nationwide, to a time where we are moving closer and closer and are in fact leading the South in securing non-discrimination protections and just where public, you know, where the public is on these issues. You know, I'm continuing to believe that between the push from the cities, from the public, from business leadership, and from a growing bipartisan cadre of elected leaders, we're going to get a statewide non-discrimination act passed. And, you know, we can be the opposite of what North Carolina was. North Carolina really did themselves a great deal of economic damage and damage to their reputation, lost companies, lost sporting events, lost cultural events, you know, just, and the damage continues even now. Florida can be the place that says, you know, you come here and you're going to be treated just like everybody else. You're going to have the same opportunities. We're not going to have artificial barriers between you and the dream and the vision you have for your life, and that discrimination has no place in Florida. And we can go after every business that any state that fails to uphold that standard loses. I think it's the right thing to do, but economically, it's the smart thing to do, and I think it's why St. Petersburg has become one of the cities in Florida that has really worked to achieve that 100% municipal equality index standard, because they understand the message that it sends and the invitation that it offers for people to come here and get educated, you know, build a career, raise a family, and, you know, just enjoy the beauty and the opportunity that St. Pete has to offer.
That's brilliant.
You've made it to the end of another great episode. For show notes, head to stpete.co to the show notes page, which includes links to all the resources mentioned in the show, as well as quotes and key insights from the show and information about the guest and the host. Thanks again to our sponsor, Big C. Head to Big C, that's BIGSEA.co, to check out their work. And if you like what you heard, make sure to share this episode on social media and leave a comment. See you next time.